Things are going to start happening to me now.
You've done all the reading. You're a scholar. You're a professor. You've done all the reading. You've done the intellectual heavy lifting.
Or less, eat shit and die.
You wouldn't know a fact if it begged you all night long.
Want to, like, give the wrong impression, because I am very high.
F***ing right up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash. Yeah.
Care. I'm a libertarian. What I'm getting is,
did you vote for Joe Jorgensen or Trump?
Who?
Joe Jorgensen. That was the perfect answer. Thank you.
Welcome, everybody, to the Libertarian Podcast Review. It's a Friday night. Are we drinking? I'm drinking. Oh, yeah, we got some Hooters. Hooters in the background. It's a titty night because we got Toad, we got Jim. But first, we're going to talk about some Fox and Sons coffee. That's what I drink when I'm looking to lactate and go all over the ladies. So, without further ado, and I hate that comment, without anything else, let's bring in our guests. Who are we going to bring in first? We're going to bring in Magoo. How you doing? Welcome, sir.
What's up, Tyler?
How you doing? How's everything treating you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Can't complain.
Okay, good.
End of a good week.
All right, cheers. Well, cheers to you as well. And over on stage 8, we've got Toad. And look at the We Are Ace in the background. Yeah. How you doing, buddy?
All I can see is my cancerous mole on my shoulder on that background there. We're all Ace. What I'm saying is that I am a pedophile who lives in Maine and doesn't understand anything about libertarianism beyond autistic theory.
Okay, I'm cutting that out, and that's going to go on my new open. All right. Welcome, everybody. I'm glad you're here. Toad, what are you drinking, first of all? I know you're off the sauce, except for the titties, milking them, and then you're the sommelier for that. Right. Tell us about that.
This is coffee. It is not Fox and Sons, because Fox and Sons, they dropped us as a sponsor. They dropped Tower Gang. So we had to replace them with Nadeau razors, which are my razor of choice when I want to attempt suicide. But I'm no longer drinking Fox and Sons coffee. I'm drinking, I don't know what this is, some other shit.
Why did they drop you?
Yeah.
Because he hasn't dropped me.
I have no idea. I'm messing around. I like Steve. Oh. I think he's a good guy. I like his coffee as well. No, I think it was just that the money was just not coming in. I don't know. Just not the right audience, I guess. Maybe we didn't go vulgar enough on the...
Or you didn't advertise. So foxandson.com. I drink their coffee.
We did.
Constantly. Okay, so go to the Fox and Son, use promo code review. You'll get 15% off $25 or more. I order a lot. We're going to actually do a contest, and Steve is going to be shipping bags out to people. Okay, so nice. Magoo?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have an idea for a contest? I don't have one, so I'm trying to figure one out.
In order to win the...
A bag of coffee. I mean, that's...
Man,
exactly.
Maybe by the end of the episode we'll have something formulated.
I have an idea because as we know, even though I typically like my coffee black, but if it's not black, I like to take it with two titty milks in it. So I think what the contest can be is a titty contest. The best titties, the titties that look like they would produce the best milk for a nice latte. That can be the winner. Of course, men are going to have a hard time winning it.
Well, I think that's our audience, mostly is men. So we've got one or two women. They're hands down, they could win. But you know, I've seen some female titties. I'm just like, I don't think you're going to win. Not when some of these men can have some heavy bags.
Yeah. I might enter myself. I have a good shot.
You're not allowed to. Not until your presidential run is over. How's that going?
Is it still going? Yes, it's going. I'm running the leanest campaign that has ever been run. I've accepted nothing in donations. I've not used any money whatsoever, and I think I'm probably like in like third or fourth place. So listen, man, it's the most efficient libertarian campaign in history.
So it's the most libertarian thing you can do is just not give a fuck and not pay attention. Right. And
That's right. I'm out there. I'm shit posting. I mentioned once in a while, hey, by the way, remember, I'm running for president, and I might beat Rechtenwald.
I doubt your mom would even vote for you. What, you know, the scariest thing I would have if I was running is actually accepting money and then trying to have to figure it out at some point so I didn't like run afoul of the election laws.
Oh yeah, the FEC, if you want to file that, I have the software. They install, you have to install software in your machine if you want to do electronic filing of the quarterly like finance reports or whatever. And then the software, like, it literally does not work. Some, like, I was just going to file it with a zero and just be like, hey, fuck you. Like, wow. You're not required to unless you were over like 5,000 or whatever. It didn't even work. So I was just like, fuck it.
Just take donations and nothing but 1488 or 1776 or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All those porn bots you probably get on your laptop, that's probably some sort of problem. They don't, or you didn't have enough, and the government's like, we don't think you're valid, because everyone that runs, they're seedy in some way. Maybe that's what are they trying to get into your computer? Is that really? I mean, I would be worried about putting that on.
I have all the shit. Like, I got like ad block. I got some virus scanning software. I got some I got a bunch of malware software. Like, I got the shit to block it. And I don't know. Maybe the amount of porn that I watch might negate that anyway. Like, something might get through. It's like a condom. It's not 100% effective.
That's how Toad is supporting Israel, by watching as much porn as possible.
Well, thanks, Jim. I was just going to go there. Or should I call you Magoo?
It doesn't fucking matter. Jim, okay. Magoo, whatever.
So that's where I was going to go, Toad. Are you mixed on this Israel thing? Because you're like, well, look, I literally might be like a third world country giving them enough money every year for, you know, their own. So you're backing them by buying all this porn, watching it, I'm sure, but yet it's Israel. How do you feel about your situation right now?
Who am I backing with the porn? What? It's all free.
Well,
it's not.
Yeah. If you think it's free, you're the product.
Look, man,
some cringy fucking 2012 shit.
I just want to see some titties and jerk off. That's all I care about with that. As far as Israel is concerned, I wouldn't say that I'm mixed. I'm certainly anti-Israel. I mean, if you force me to actually say it, like, I don't want to like necessarily do it just because it. I think it's carrying water for like the U.S. military regime, but I will tell you that yes, I think there are like Islamic terrorists on the side of Hamas and whatever. That's not false. That is true. But
sure,
Israel is certainly the worst aggressor. It's Israel combined with like the U.S. military. I am very much opposed to that. So it may give the appearance that I am on the side of Palestine, which I pretty much am. But I'm mostly anti the worst regime that's out there, and a lot of total faggots are getting this thing completely wrong. If you switch over to Timcast right now, you'll see one of them.
Oh shit!
Scott Horton is totally wrong on this now.
So,
and I'm gonna fist fight him and then steal his skateboard. Or
Justin
something.
Said to call you Jim Goo, but I'm gonna call you Magim.
Ooh,
that works.
All
right, I go by much worse.
Okay. How are you on this Israel Palestine issue?
So up until about 45 minutes ago, I would have echoed everything Toad said, because that's how I was feeling the whole time. And then actually I had this thought, and then Owen Benjamin on Tower Gang this week really crystallized how I truly feel. And that is, like, no, I'm actually very pro Israel, like so pro Israel that it's like, no. You must have your ethno state. So, like, I think we should start rounding up all of the Jews that aren't in Israel and make sure they get there. And then we border wall the fuck out of it, and then get, like, you know, remote control rockets and everything they have pointing at Gaza, have that pointing at Israel to keep those bastards where, like, keep them put. I want to know where they're all at. And if they're all in that one area and we just keep them there, then peace will settle throughout the land.
This is interesting. That's a good point that, Israel's actual creation. Israel was actually created by rounding up the Jews.
We just let too many out.
So a few things. Minder says, what's Scott's position on this? I hope that's satire, because otherwise, you know what? Max Blumenthal, he makes a point all the time. He's a Jew who's against this all the time. He says Zionism is actually, if you're a proponent of it, you're actually anti-Semitic because you're doing exactly what you're talking about. They're either the anti-Semitics or it's anti-Semitic people are saying, let's just put them all in this area. So I get it. But yeah, it's not terribly. But the problem is, Jim Goo, is we've then got to they're not just satisfied with doing that. We're more interested. U.S. is more interested in bombing the shit out of everyone around them just for shits and giggles.
So yeah,
it's a problem for us.
Or do what must be done and bomb the Palestinians into being past tense. But like, you can't have both. It's just not going to work. Like, one's got to go. And yeah, either all the Jews go to Israel or no Jews go to Israel. That's kind of where I'm at.
All right.
Yeah. Scott, I assume, is basically 100% right on this issue. I don't know 100% of what his take is on it, but I have to assume that he is correct.
Yeah, he's Scott Horton. He's saying his normal stuff. To some people, you know, when you first hear him, it does sound a little bit rough because at least that was me. And then after a while you get used to it, and then next thing you know you're pushing to round them all up myself, which should have, you know, with my name and my ethnicity, should have come natural. I don't know why it took me a while. I was just fighting against the urge.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's a very Aryan sounding name, right? You're yeah. German.
German, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Z Germans.
Yeah, I don't know. What about you guys? Are you on the anti-Semitic scale?
I think. Well, I'm not determining that scale. I'm just pointing out where I fall on the scale because it's a sliding scale. It changes every day and depending on who you're talking with. And I find myself like going further and further and further by their standards to anti-Semitism because I just don't give a fuck about this like right. pomposity that like we must just back Israel because reasons.
And, isn't it crazy right now? Like, you know, the Nikki Haley's or whatnot. Just by the way, it was remember during BLM, mm-hmm. it was if you're not supporting BLM, you are a racist. OK, that was out there. Now it's if you're not supporting if you're not pro Zionism, you're anti-Semitic.
Yeah,
and it's so, just it's such a and the right is pushing it. And they're just so fun.
I wouldn't even call them the right.
It's just terminology at this point.
They're neocons. I don't know what you want to call them, but
Warhawks.
If you consider anti-Semitism to be a scale from 6 million to zero, I am at zero.
That's a strong number. What was the congressman's name? Jamal Bowman, was it? I wanted to play that video. Did you see his the video coming out? About
is that the
him
fire?
Pushing the door?
The fire alarm guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen anything with him. Well, everything I've been seeing coming out of Washington is we must bomb Gaza and, you know, get your patriotic yarmulkes on my website. Just five easy payments of all your fucking money.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's bring this in here. This is him actually pushing the. It has a video of him actually opening. Have you seen this, you guys?
All right. I don't know if I have or if I haven't.
Okay, now I was watching Jimmy Dore today just because Kurt Metzger was on there, and he's like, "Look, he made a great comment, Kurt Metzger. He said, first of all, just because he has glasses, you know, some people have smart glasses, and then there's the dumb people. They also have glasses, and sometimes the retards really need those glasses to help them. He goes, that might be this guy's case. He goes, I get frustrated. I could see myself pulling a thing if you know the fire alarm if it's not that." But then you watch this and you go, okay, so here's the situation.
Yeah, you might have glasses because you have a lazy eye. You might literally have an eye that's retarded.
Door doesn't open, throws the sign, grabs the thing. And
all I saw was fuck this and three easy steps. That's all I saw.
Yeah, there was no doubt about, I mean, he was like, this is, like, here we go again. Okay, door doesn't open. Fuck
you know
the
what
sign.
You know what
bam,
I think it was.
And I'm out. There's...
So then he just pulls it. And, of course, because he is a black man, he is not even going to hear the result of that. But nope. but he still knows what he's doing, of course. He's
been charged with it now.
He did that intentionally. I forget, what was the vote that was even going on at that point? But he obviously
I think it was funding
it
for Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever it was. It was something to do with that government shutdown that was going on. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything so you're saying, I'm going to agree with. But one thing I will say, the fire alarm pull, I'm not going to think that that's like, I thought that was to unlock the doors. I think he was intentionally trying to set off an alarm and thought, ooh, if I open these doors that aren't supposed to open, an alarm will go off. Because as soon as he pulled the fire alarm, it's not like he checked the doors again.
No, right.
He never went back to the doors.
That's exactly what I think. He's thinking, I'm going to set off the alarm. The easiest way to do it is to open the door. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, the door doesn't open. Pull the alarm. That's it. That's what happened.
Yeah. And if he was, you know, like his excuse at the time was, I was confused. I pulled the alarm thinking that was going to open the doors. First of all, it's not. That's a dumb thing. You would have stood there and then tried to open the doors, but you left.
Yeah.
So it's just not really there. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Justin always putting out the facts. He says his office literally put out a statement that he did it deliberately to delay the vote. And within an hour, that got completely scrubbed. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, there it is.
Fantastic.
So he's been charged. Has there been any further developments, or are they just going to, like, is it criminal? Like, or is he just being suspended by the Congress or whatever?
I don't know. I mean, that's, you can argue that's in a way doing similar things to the J6ers, right? Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
A false fire alarm is a criminal act.
And it's in a federal building. I mean, it's,
right. I may speak from experience. Back in my college days.
Yeah, I tweeted out that he committed an insurrection. That was one of my tweets. But of course, what is the letter of the law doesn't even matter. It's what gets enforced is what matters, and who it gets enforced against matters as well. And in this case, he is like one of them. He's a member of the regime, so he's not going to face any consequences for this.
Right. So it's always interesting to see what the GOP in this sense will do. Are they going to kind of bend to their constituents who would probably want him nailed to the wood, you know, just like taken to the woodshed and taken to task for this? Or are they going to say, look, at some point we're going to need a favor. And what if I need to get this dead hooker out the side door? And I pull an alarm. I don't want to be in trouble either. So
yeah, we need a better pathway for safe passage out of this bitch, and we can't sink. Well, that's why the war started in Israel, is to take the eyes off of this guy. That's why we're here.
It was this guy?
Yeah.
They needed somebody to distract away. Like this was too red pilling a moment. Well, what you said about the dead hooker is making me laugh, at least internally, because the Massachusetts State House used to have a big entrance on like the side of it on Bowdoin Street, I think, that was called the General Hooker Entrance. It was named after some military general whose name was Hooker, but it just said General Hooker Entrance on it. So it's like, oh, that's how they get into the building.
I'm just a general hooker. I'm not your special hooker. I'm not your low-level hooker.
Right.
Just a general kind.
No, right. You got to go see the general hooker first before you start to see the specialized, like, ball-stomping hookers.
Yeah, that's why they can publicly display it. Like, those are just the ones that just come off the street. That's where they go in right there. They renamed it within the last, like, couple years. Because so many people were making fun of it. It's like, but that was the name of it for like decades.
So Justin brings up this bad law, which it's not law, but yelling fire in a crowded theater, essentially. I mean, he did worse than that. He pulled the fire alarm, which is basically yelling fire in a crowded theater that there's an actual fire. I don't know.
Yeah, and in either case, private property ownership just solves that problem because, like, the theater can.
And by the way, that's not an actual law anymore. I mean, it was.
It's totally stupid, but the theater can obviously just say, this is one of the rules that we have. If you do this, we're going to kick you out. Problem solved.
Yeah, yeah.
I say they should tase him, restrain him, and hold him on the ground for 9 minutes and 48 seconds. Ooh. And when he pops up alive, go, oh, I guess it's not that bad after all.
Oh yeah, and George Floyd would be one of the types of people to yell something in a crowded theater.
Right. Good call. Well, let's go to the applause line for that. Thank you. That's well done. What's interesting is that came about. George Floyd's autopsy, I guess, was released, or there's some more details about it, and it shows that maybe he really wasn't killed with the knee on the neck. But I don't really care about that. What I care about is someone was putting online their most embarrassing thing that they've done in public. And one of the guys from the Black Flag podcast said they legit kneeled at a BLM riot. Now, my first thought was, isn't kneeling what started the riots? Hey.
Ooh.
So what's your most embarrassing moment, Toad, besides every week on 611?
My most embarrassing public moment? I don't even know if I can choose. I mean, my most embarrassing private moments are all public now. So do those count? Does the threesome jerk off count?
It's
up I don't remember it. No, that was Chadley. That's not very embarrassing. I basically fell off the stage at my college graduation.
Oh, snap.
Maybe that's
like
one.
Like receiving your diploma or something?
Yeah. So we had, it was raining. It was actually bad weather at my high school and college graduations. College one, we had it inside in like the big gym there. And for some reason, the stage was set up such that you were walking from the back of the stage to the front of the stage. You're receiving your diploma from like the president of the university to the left. So he handed me my diploma and it was like stuck in his armpit. So I'm like looking ahead of me at first because there were like three steps to get down the stage. I'm like, why is my diploma like stuck? Why is it not moving? So I look back to see what was going on with it. It was stuck in his armpit, took one step too far, and I tripped, fell down the stage, the front of the stage, basically. Like, pretty much as they announced my name, pretty much.
That's
and
awesome.
Then, yeah, Toad is what they announced, of course. I fell, but I actually, I somehow was able to, not actually hit the ground, and I picked myself up. Like, I still somehow like landed and stood back up, and I was just like, yeah, like that. And everybody just like was kind of like, huh, like what is going on here? Like, it seemed like there was almost no reaction to it. And I'm just like, well, that was embarrassing. And then afterwards, like, people were like, hey man, did you have a nice trip? Like, or, hey man, I'd say
nice
see
trip.
You in
Next
see
fall.
You in the see you in the fall, yeah. But we're not coming back. Like, oh man.
Okay, I don't know if that the story or the storytelling was more embarrassing or the actual situation. Magoo, do you have any that you want to share, or you could just say no, I don't want to talk about it.
Oh no, fuck it. I have no shame. The only thing I'm trying to decide is which one, because I got two. I'll start with the lightest one first, and well. You tell me if you want to hear the second after this. My first shart as an adult. it happened with shortly after I started working at a new company. And my boss thought that it would be a good idea to... And I was in sales. So the whole operation of sales is like maintaining your shit. Like literally and figuratively. But like, so within the first couple months... I think I started at this company in August, and by like October or maybe even September, he was like, all right, all the new guys and a couple of the old veteran sales guys, I'm like, clear your fucking schedules this weekend. We're going to go up and go camping and go watch some drag racing and get fucking wasted. And, and the whole thing for him was like, he didn't buy pit passes, but he wanted to see if the new sales guys could sell their way into getting up to and touching the cars, like just totally breaking the rules and doing illegal shit. So on day one, we did that and it worked out great. And he was like, hell yeah, this Magoo guy is going to make it. Day two, we're just hanging out, sitting outside the camper. And I had a fart that I should not have trusted. And there's maybe 20 people around us, half of which are from our company. And I just had like the best day ever the day before. Yeah. And so they're all patting me on the back like, hell yeah, Magoo. And then I was like,
slow-mo, it's like windblown hair, jet ski.
Yeah.
You're just like a Mountain Dew commercial. Yeah.
Yeah. Drag racing, chicks in bikinis, everyone's drunk. It's like whatever. And I'm like, I can just rip this off and no one's gonna give a shit.
Drags in bikinis? I'm sorry, I was
no, we're at a NHRA drag race. We're in North Georgia, just, you know.
Sure. Drag queen story hour?
This was before people started getting infatuated with cutting off their dongs. But no, I let out a fart that I should have never trusted, and I filled my britches with shit. And
how
it was
bad?
Like a...
How
like,
much?
Like, it came through. And I had to change. But there's no...
You're at a drag race, right?
Yeah, in the campground.
What do you change?
Point. Well, yeah. Like,
I mean, you didn't have like a spare set of clothes.
No, I did, because it was like, you go camping in the, like, everybody brings the RVs. Like, we're tailgating. We're back at the camp and we're just hanging out, getting wasted before we go back down to watch more redneck shit.
Like, I think I might shit my pants, so I got to be prepared.
Dude, here's the thing. I was wasted. Didn't even think it was a possibility until it was a reality. And then embarrassment ensued. I had to get the fuck up, run away as fast as possible, go to over to my truck, grab new clothes, go to a porter potty. And I left behind underwear and a nice pair of pants in the bottom of a porter potty. And then I come back, change. And that's when everybody was like, what the fuck? And then they immediately called me out because they saw me taking my change of clothes into the porter potty. And then for the rest of the fucking weekend, I was a shit pants. And I don't work there anymore.
Whoa.
That's rough.
Yeah, you're fired, shit pants.
That's a solid story. You know what would have been better, though, is that, you know, you have khakis and you just have to walk around in that for a while. That's
My body was trying to give me a heads up of what the future was to hold working at that company. That's all. My inner gut was trying to tell me something, you know?
You peaked on day one.
Yeah.
Dude, that could have been me at Reno.
That's true. That's a famous story. And what if your shit, I don't know, would your shit been able to vote too?
Maybe I have incredible control. I don't know, but I was able to hold that in, man. That was after that double meal that they served us, I think, whatever it was, like the breakfast.
Tom Woods breakfast.
I don't know if it was that day. It might have been like the Scott Horton one, or Scott Horton was the lunch that day, maybe, whatever it was. There was something in some of that food that was just, it was just off. Or maybe it was Scott Horton talking about war too much that was hurting my digestive system. But yeah, that was, I can't believe I held it in, man. I was literally about to like diarrhea on the convention floor, and I'm in the middle of like my table, and you know how narrow all those walkways were. Knew that I wasn't going to be able to get out anyway. I'm like, I gotta hold this in. And it was during that most important vote that was the one to like change the rules so that the assholes wouldn't be able to delay the process indefinitely. So I was like, I have to vote on this, and it won by like one vote. And that was me, my butthole.
My favorite is that how you think that you were like, you know, like I was there, and it's like, you know, I'm fighting Drago, and I'm Rocky, and you know, getting punched. I'm in the 18th round, and I'm getting hit. I was so brave, honey. I was so brave. I fought off the criminals or the guy breaking in.
Yeah, I'm a hero.
You're fighting off a bowel movement.
I'm a total
hero. By the way, if you guys
want
to see more of that, let me see if I can find the episode, because we did an episode. Here's your one.
Yeah. Here's your contest, Tyler. Whoever submits the most embarrassing story wins the Fox and Sons coffee. Because nothing makes you shit yourself like Fox and Sons coffee.
Ah, there's the tie-in. All right, I like it. I like it a lot.
Or if you have some, you can maybe rub a little bit. I don't know.
I like that a lot.
Keep a coffee filter in your backside when you're out in nature. It really will come in handy.
That is horrible,
gross.
Justin.
Oh,
Episode 46. Yeah, go back and listen. It's me talking to Reed and Toad at Reno. Mm-hmm. And that whole story is recounted there in quite detail.
It seemed like nobody liked it either. And I think I recounted it on the Tower Gang once. Everybody was like, please never tell this again.
You told it on Lions of Liberty. You told
it on Brian McWilliams. Show. Yeah, right. I was on Brian McWilliams' show right after it happened as well. So, yeah. With Clint and Reed again, I think, if I remember correctly. That was that was a fun time, man.
Yeah, Reno was pretty good. It was pretty good.
I think I'm just impervious to embarrassment, to be honest, because like I'm going through my mind, I'm like, what like story do I have that is even considered to be like an embarrassing public moment? I don't know. I just like think that everything's kind of funny. I just go back and like laugh about it. I don't know. The one where I got kicked out of the bar might be more embarrassing.
I got a couple of those too.
What?
I got a couple of those too. I got another banger if you wanted, I guess, as far as embarrassment.
Let's do it. Ready? Start with some applause.
This also involves alcohol and work functions.
Shocker.
Yeah. You're going to start to see a linear track when it comes to me and stories.
I've had some of those too.
But every year, you know, companies like to have their annual retreat where they get all the managers together to rally around and jerk each other off about how good our year was. Even if it was a bad year, it's like, we can make numbers do whatever the fuck we want. Cash bar, though. And so this was like 4, going on 5 years ago now. I had just drove back in town from Nashville I was fucking exhausted, hadn't eaten all day. And part of the retreat was they're going to take us out on a I think it was Margaritaville party boat going around the lake near the resort we were at. And there was no food on it. And so I get on this boat and I'm just like, I'm fucking starving. They're like, whatever, dude, here's a beer. Long story short, I'm drinking all day, no food, empty stomach at a work function. And there was one chick that worked with us. She no longer works there because she hooked up with half the company. And that started to disrupt things at home for some
including you.
Well, so I was hanging out with her at the bar
That's
doing
the embarrassing
shots.
Story. It's finished.
Yeah, going shot for shot with her. And then allegedly, I was making out with her outside on the pool deck.
Allegedly.
But I thought I was being sneaky because we were off in the corner. But what I didn't realize is that this hotel had floor-to-ceiling windows. So we were up against a window, and the entire company is just like, would somebody go get him and tell, like, stop that. Knock that the fuck off. Like, Jesus fucking Christ. That's not the embarrassing part.
No, no, that's the awesome part. That's the opposite of embarrassing.
Right. That's just the setup to, well, so they tried
a boner and they all saw that.
I was drunk and rock hard and they tried to separate me and I wasn't fucking having it. Long story short, it takes three guys to get me back up to my room. And there's a guy that I
suck you off.
Well, that would have been way better, but no. One of the guys I had worked with for like 15 years and me and him have some bad history, bad blood. And I just didn't want to hear anything from this guy. And so he's heavy handed. He like gets me, you know, he's roughhousing with me, trying to like keep me in my room. And I was just like, dude, fuck off. Long story short, we get in a fight. I get him in a headlock and I'm just choking him out. And then another one of my managers comes up and just starts punching me in the face, breaks my nose, knocks me out. And I just fall on the floor in a pool of blood. Ooh. Don't wait, it gets better. And then when I finally
this is still not really embarrassing yet. I mean, the losing the fight part of it, I guess, is. But
well, when it's bad. 3-on-1, and
his boss was a female. That's
the embarrassing part. This is all badass so far.
When I come to, I don't know where I am because you know when you get knocked the fuck out, your brain gets reset.
Yeah.
So I think I'm being kidnapped in this hotel room because I'm bleeding everywhere, and I just got my ass kicked, and I can't see anything. My eyes are constantly watering. I just see three grown men standing at the doorway telling me to stay put. And I was like, fuck that. So I went out and jumped off the balcony. And it was the second story balcony. And I land face first right back in front of those floor to ceiling windows where the rest of the company was still at the bar. And they watched this whole thing go down. And I knocked myself out again. Long story short, the ambulance had to come, and I spent the night in the hospital.
That sounds like some of the...
How bad were you hurt? I mean, like you face plant off something. That's how you can die.
Oh, yeah. And luckily, it was in the grass, and it was right next to some landscape boulders. Okay. And I didn't look. I just jumped.
Because you were, I'm kidnapped. I need to get away from my captors. I've seen people do this all the time on TV.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, but the entire company saw the whole thing go down as far as me going, and then half the company thought that the guys in my hotel room threw me off the balcony. So they wanted to go up there and kill them. And then, so cops called, ambulance came, and I didn't lose my job, surprisingly. But the only injuries I had was the broken nose that I got when the dude was punching me as I was holding the other guy. And no cracked ribs, no internal injuries. I was so drunk, I literally just...
Yeah. Yeah, when you're drunk, you're so loose that you, don't injure yourself. That's crazy. I don't think anything about that is embarrassing, really. I think it's just all kind of awesome. And it sounds like, I'm pretty sure... Lines of Liberty, those guys, Brian and Odie and Rico, I think the... It was probably on one of the Degenerate Gamblers, maybe. I'm pretty sure that's where I heard it. They talked about a really similar story from college. Like, I don't know if it was one of them or if it was some other guy that they knew did almost the same thing and was drunk at a party and just jumped off of some balcony, onto asphalt and wasn't really injured.
See, had I done that when I was 22, I don't even know if it'd be a story. But I did it at like 38. That's the embarrassing part.
Right. Yeah. That's why you need, you know, look, you got to get a woman married at least so that when you go to these events, they kind of keep you under control. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I was trying to get a woman and things were going well.
That's right. Yeah,
they stopped. If they should have just let me carry on and nothing would have happened outside of like, they would have just given me a hard time for years after. Like, hey, remember when you hooked up with the company slut? I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you never would have done it, man. You never would have done it. Do you want my bar story? It's not very long. It's probably more embarrassing than the other one.
Sounds like, yeah, sure. Tell us about it.
Robbie the Fire was present, and he told the story on one of the Tower Gang episodes that he was on. But it was this was in Boston a few years ago. This was during my failed attempt at sobriety before I actually totally became sober. So it's awesome that like the two times I got drunk, like after I said I went sober, I drank like twice basically and got drunk. One time I blacked out and jerked off to a threesome. And the other time was this story, which was, I was at, Dave Smith, Robbie the Fire, comedy show. I think it was Comedy Show plus Part of the Problem, whatever it was, in Boston. It was at a bar. After the show, it was me, Robbie, BK Chris, and two chicks. So I was not thinking about this ratio. I was, like, way too drunk. Like, with that ratio, it was obvious that the two of them were going to each bang one of the chicks, and I was not going to get any. But I was just,
hoping to get Robbie.
Yeah, no, I just, really. Like, I just wanted to hang out with Robbie. I didn't even care about these two chicks. They weren't that hot. I was just like, I'm going to hang out with Robbie.
You don't need to impugn Robbie's ability to nail some hot or not chicks. Just finish the story.
He can nail any chick that he wants, really. Okay. I've seen him in action.
Okay.
This was
matter of fact, is this when you jerked off to a foursome? Is this what the story's gonna be?
Yeah. It was a fivesome, maybe, if you count that. No, so Robbie or Chris, one of the two, maybe both of them, knew about this other bar that was in Boston. They kind of knew this like secret entrance to it or something. I don't remember because I was definitely pretty hammered. We went to some other bar that was not that far away from the bar where the comedy show was. So it's that whole group of us that I just mentioned. We walk into the bar from some like side alley. So like everything was weird, man. Like I was like disoriented because of this. So you're not going in like the main entrance of the bar, like the front entrance. So everything is thrown off to me. We walk in.
So autistic.
And the bar I felt was like almost equidistant between like the front of the bar and the back of the bar. Okay. So you couldn't tell which, this is my excuse. You couldn't tell which
square. I got it. You
couldn't tell which side of the bar was the back of the bar or the front of the bar. So okay. I walked behind the bar where the employees are. And they immediately kicked me out because of that. Or they basically said, like, they said to Robbie, I think, like, you have to get your friend out of here, basically. So then I remember Robbie just like kind of escorting me over to the door, the main entrance, which we had not come in. That's, again, my excuse. It's very weird when you come in like the entrance that you come in is like literally basically behind the bar already. But Robbie might tell this differently. I don't know. But he escorted me to the actual entrance, like at the front of the bar, and was like, sorry, dude, like those are the rules. And I remember just kind of looking at him as like he shut the door in my face. And I'm like, no.
Robbie shut the door in your face?
Yeah.
Sad toad noises.
He slipped someone a 20. It's like, can you kick this guy out?
So, yeah, he's going to want to
sleep with me, and I want to sleep with these girls.
Yeah. Robbie said that I was looking up at him with puppy dog eyes.
Of course you were.
As he put me outside, he put me out to pasture. And then
did they find the shooter up there in Lewiston, Maine?
Not that I know of. I don't know where he even is now. Like, they didn't know where he was.
He's with the Sarnov brothers. He's hiding with them in a boat somewhere.
Sarnaev. Yeah, they're
Sarnaev, sorry.
Well, the Boston Bombers. He's
hanging out with them somewhere. They're hiding in someone's boat in the back of their yard or something like that.
Well, no, the Tsarnaevs, if you don't remember what happened, one of them died that night. The one who was like the older one who was the mastermind.
Like in a parking lot or some shit, right?
He got run over by a car.
Yeah.
Basically.
Wasn't it the was it because they escaped with the security guard? That guy shot, or they shot him. And then they escaped, and I think
yeah, they might have shot one other guy. Yeah, but yeah, I forget what the storyline was there, but or the chronology of it, I don't even remember. But he, I forget what the guy's name was, the older one of the Tsarnaevs. He died that night, getting hit by a car, and then the younger one, Jokhar Tsarnaev or whatever, he's the one that the manhunt was for, even though he was like this. Like kid, basically this like pipsqueak, he ran and hid, and they found him hiding in like a boat in somebody's yard in Watertown, Mass. That was like covered with like a tarp, and they found him later that night. Maybe they found him, or the next day, I guess, whatever it was. I don't even remember.
I think it was at least the next day. Like the sun was up. I think it was the next morning.
Right. So I assume he's in prison. Yeah, that's right. It's my hometown, man, Boston. I remember that day pretty vividly. I was actually working.
Did you see the movie with Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, I've seen both movies. Patriots Day was the Mark Wahlberg one, because Patriots Day is the Boston themed holiday that is when the marathon is run, and then the other movie with Jake Gyllenhaal, I think, where he plays I think it's called Stronger. Jake Gyllenhaal plays one of the guys who was injured in the bombing, who like lost like one of his legs or both of his legs or whatever. That movie is actually a lot better than the Mark Wahlberg one. The Mark Wahlberg one, Mark is like one of the cops, and it's like the big, you know, it's the big patriotic thing, like rah rah, we gotta catch the Islamic.
Come on, guys, we gotta go chase this guy down.
Yeah, right. The Jake Gyllenhaal one. I think it's Jake Gyllenhaal. That one is way better because it's more like a personal story. Like from that standpoint of it,
it's more like I did see the Wahlberg one, and even though it's rah rah, you're still watching it. If you have any discerning eye, you're watching it, you're like, this is a movie, and even them make the cops look like bumbling idiots. It's just like,
yeah,
you couldn't have done any, but that's how bad they were that this is as good as you're gonna get. Okay, I get it.
Yeah,
but that main shooter, if they don't catch him this weekend, it's gonna be another Eric Rudolph situation. The Olympic Park bombing guy that was found like 2 or 3 years later up in North Carolina, like trash, you know, dumpster diving behind a Walmart.
Oh, yeah. I just watched a special on it. It was the Netflix Catching Killers or whatever. They did one on the Olympic bombing in Atlanta. I didn't realize that guy escaped for so long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Richard Jewell was the patsy. Richard Jewell did it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was the guy that was... He, I mean, he's dead now. He's been dead for a long time, but he got fucking railroad. Oh yeah, he died of.
Did you see the movie? Was it Clint Eastwood that did it? Or yeah,
Clint Eastwood.
I want to see that. I still haven't seen it.
Again, there's two. I think there's one on Netflix that is absolutely fucking dumb as shit, and then the Clint Eastwood one is actually good because Clint Eastwood got with the local field agents here in Atlanta to find out like how did it go down. What's the official account from the guys who actually worked the case? And here's a tidbit that most people won't know. So in the Clint Eastwood movie, the way they have it set up is that it's just one FBI agent that is investigating Jewell. And that they did that for storytelling purposes to make it more linear and easier to understand. But really, it was two agents. And there's a scene.
That's so
where,
much more complicated.
Yeah. So
that's Hollywood.
There's a scene where they are raiding Richard Jewell's apartment.
Whoa, I'm already confused. Did you say two? I can't. Can you just pretend it's one? Then I'll be able to follow. Okay.
Sorry. But there's a scene where they're raiding Richard Jewell's apartment, and I think the main character yells into the back bedroom, "Hey, Gutierrez and Gonzalez, you know, come on." That's the actual name of the two agents that were on the case in real life. So... it was like a nod to that.
Oh, it's an Easter egg that they threw in there, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to watch that movie, man. I like Clint Eastwood's stuff. I like the Richard Jewell story. It's a crazy story. But yeah, the Netflix one that I watched was just like a 1 hour documentary about the case. I just didn't realize the guy had been like living in the woods for so long and escaping detection. It's crazy.
Well, and so that's what I'm saying with this main shooter guy is... you know, he's former military, still, I guess, National Guard, Army Reservist, whatever.
So he might do the same thing.
He's a marksman instructor.
Instructor, yeah.
So, and if he's from Maine, I don't know where he's from, but he's clearly lived up there for a while. If he knows the area, he will just vanish into the woods. Like 75% of that state, Northwest Maine, is uninhabitable. Like it's marshland and mountainous, and there's not a road that goes through it. There's nothing
up there. You get a good night, a good view of the night sky up there.
Yeah, like there's parts of Maine that you drive through, and like on I-95, where normally if you're going from town to town, it'll say now entering, you know, Matabiscobic, you know, and whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And but up there, it will just say now entering. Well, no, it just says now entering T140R136. It's showing you there's not enough people that live in that area to even constitute an unincorporated town. It just says you're entering township range, like this part on the map. That's where you are.
Right.
And so it's so desolate up there that if he knows how to survive and he knows where certain hunting camps are, he can survive for he can do quite well.
The only problem is, and by the way, I haven't read anything about this. Spud sent me something right away because where she lives, the town Lewiston, it's in Idaho rather than Maine. She's like, I saw this on the it's close to where my parents and where I grew up. So we had a connection. She's like, hey, look at this. It's not Lewiston, Idaho. And I was like, okay. What's interesting, not really all I've read about it, and I've seen a few things, but I did hear on the radio this morning that evidently he didn't need hearing aids, but he was concerned that people were talking about him. So he had hearing aids cranked all the way up so he can hear people. That was like his listening device. And I think it was driving him fucking crazy.
It was,
So you're right, Jim, except for if he's a little bit off, he's not going to be able to hide like you would normally have, you know, like a seal or some other guy that's just out there that's got all his faculties together. This guy's going to make some mistake talking to a dog or something. I don't know, a homeless man that something's going to happen and it's going to be something ridiculous and he's going to get caught for it.
Moose is going to know too much and he's going to have to put him down. But
right.
Yeah,
he's going to end up in Toad's backyard trying to fuck his neighbors or something like that.
Yeah, that would be wild. Yeah, like that day I was like, oh shit, am I going to run into him? But he's probably not going to be in a city.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so the story is that the hearing aids thing is fucking hilarious. I mean, tragic, yes, people died, whatever, but fuck that. Let's find the funny parts. Gets fitted for professional hearing aids and immediately, like, goes off the rails. It also was reported that, like, a week or two prior to the shooting, his girlfriend dumped him. Shocker. And
lost his job.
And the two places that he went and shot up were places that he and his girlfriend used to go all the time. So I'm thinking he lost his shit. Lost his girl, lost his job, and was like, fuck that. I'm going to go kill that bitch. And she wasn't there. And whoever was there was just going to get it regardless. And he was, I doubt the people who died suffered, because if I'm going to die in a mass shooting event, I'd rather it be by a marksman instructor than just some fucking dipshit.
Takes out your balls instead of your head.
Yeah.
Just quick shot to the head. Yeah.
I'm looking for the bright side here, you know?
Yeah.
Steve Fox and Friends here. It's Fox and
Sons.
Yeah,
what's up, Steven? Yeah.
He says he's already back at headquarters and been assigned to South America. And then, Justin thinks similar. The guy doesn't come back alive. Can't have someone that mentally unstable telling about all the MK Ultra shit he's been doing. Maybe so.
Yeah. My mom was like saying that he might have committed suicide. I'm like, I don't know. There's like no evidence of that, but I guess it's possible.
Like the guy that, killed the blonde girl. They were out. There were YouTubers, remember that, out in somewhere. And then he was out in the Everglades,
I already forget their names. It's so crazy. Right.
She was hot, and that guy was a piece of shit.
Gabby something.
Gabby Polito?
Gabby Giffords. There you go.
that's who it was.
Yeah, the old Frank finally fired off
Gabby,
his last morning show.
Petito, I think.
Yes,
Petito?
Yeah. Well done on your stalking
something
chicks.
Like that, yeah. Oh yeah, dude! I jerked off to her video so often,
and that was post death.
Yeah, that was the one where they found her. They dug her.
Yeah,
up.
Like, yeah.
Autopsy photos. The dirt. Dial him up.
Yeah, her boyfriend was like Brian something. I think Brian whatever. That guy, dude. I'm not mad at Brian Laundrie was his name actually. Dude, I'm not mad at him because he committed a murder. I'm mad at him because he took away some of my jerk off material.
I mean, there you go. There you have it. I mean, just think about all the other people that were in the national parks that he could have offed. Yeah, he could have gotten a couple of 250-pound lesbos out there trying to find the meaning of, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but the problem, Jim, and it's like, I don't know if you've seen my expose with Pete Quinones talking about the Leo Frank murder or the murder of Mary Fagan down in Atlanta mm-hmm. in 1913. That's really what he did. He got upset and he knocked this chick around. Then she hit her head. Well, now you got to kill her. So now you're going to strangle her. And that's I think, what this guy did. He got pissed off at her. Something happened. She wanted to love someone else, or she didn't want to love him the way he wanted to be loved. And then she had to
see
her. I think it was just like a domestic yeah. thing. Like, yeah, he was just pissed at her. That's what I think. They were living in like an RV, man. Tensions escalate. You're in that small area together. That's what I think.
They're on body cam like a week before it went down because of a domestic disturbance. Yeah. And, but Brian Laundry fucked up. He should have pulled a shibusiness and just said, no, we were having wild, crazy, amazing sex, and it went too far. Whoopsies.
Did you listen to my episode a few weeks ago with my wife on here?
You with your wife? Yeah.
I didn't know about that story. That chick is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Not my wife.
When that story broke, well before it went to trial, I was hearing about it because the details were just so fucking... Talk about an embarrassing story. Womp, womp, womp. Thank God I don't have anything that fucking compares to that. You know, having a dildo shoved up my ass and being decapitated. What am I, a Palestinian?
What are you, Gaddafi?
What am I, an Israeli baby?
Told her, like, dildo up the ass. Wait, I want to hear
that. I haven't heard anything about
Cliff this. Cliff notes is... Right. This mom, she was banging some rando, hears some noises in her house. She has an adult son. She goes to check on him, freaks out because she thinks he's dead. This guy goes and checks on him. It's like, I'm not going to really look, but calls the cops. Cops come. Her son has been decapitated. Okay. His head's in a bucket. So they're like, okay. So they find out who the girlfriend is and they go to check her out. She's got blood on her. She basically admits to everything, which is, and then she has a trial on it anyway. Well, the trial was only over whether she mentally capable of standing for trial or not, and she'd already admit to everything. The point is, she was, they were having sex, she was choking him, she started to like the feeling, so she, I think she dildoed him up the ass. Well, no, that was, she kills him, and then she continues to assault him sexually, all kinds of ways, then cuts his body up, tries to burn it, has a Instapot type of thing. She's trying, or a pressure, slow cooker. That's what it is.
She's trying to do it. Pot. Dude, yeah. It was an accident. What are you talking about?
So
her dad testifies in court and she's even does this to like one of the,
This woman? What?
Her name is Shabusiness.
Taylor Shabusiness.
Oh, that's really her name? Oh,
she legally changed it to Shabusiness. Her government last name. She was not born Shabusiness.
Oh, now I'm just, oh, my oh, wife when, didn't
when,
tell
when
me
you,
that.
When you said Shabusiness, I just thought you were talking about Jews.
By the way, I titled the show Shabusiness up front, Shaparty in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Go check it out, Toad. My wife and I do a breakdown of it.
And so, your wife, dildo in the ass below. Yeah, so your wife knew about this because she's a white woman.
Yeah, she crime shows all over the place.
I watch a lot of those, but I've never heard of this case.
Okay. Oh, my God. Just, yeah.
Well, Jim watches a lot of the legal stuff on YouTube, so he knows about this. He likes the woman that's a little provocative.
I think the problem is,
she reminds me of all of my exes.
Yeah, I'm not.
You know the girl I was banging at the company picnic?
It turns out that was your business.
I'm not like a psycho woman. I really
dodged the dildo there.
I'm not a psycho bitch, so I don't tend to watch. I don't tend to watch the true crime that involves a woman killing her mate. I don't want to know what might happen to me, but maybe I should watch it so I recognize the signs.
You gotta have a mate first, so for that.
They weren't even together. They were just pals, buddies, whatever, but they smoked a shitload of meth and they were like, let's fucking
they
get
were methed
down.
Out yes
yeah they were By doing the way, I mean,
that does explain some of it.
Her dad testifies at the trial, but he's got to have a nice orange jumpsuit because he's incarcerated at the time.
Yeah,
so everything
he had
just
a very short visit of, or very short trip over to the courthouse, and he was like, here's
she's
my
laughing
girl.
Toad, she attacked her attorney twice in court, like lunged at him trying to hit him. They had to like it was fascinating.
Maybe he told her to do it, like play up the insanity thing, like
oh, 100%.
As crazy as possible, yeah.
100%, because I don't think she's insane. I think that, well, no, obviously she's insane, but I don't think she's like, clinically insane. I think that she's just fucking whore that took a lot of drugs and put a dog's choke collar on the dude, and then he finally died because she didn't know what the fuck was going on. And she was like, well, now I gotta fucking live this life.
Yeah, she's mentally capable. She's responsible for this. She should have to take responsibility.
Speaking a little crazy, did you see the Austin Peterson debate with Clint Russell on Israel stuff?
Was that videoed?
So yeah,
I thought it was a Twitter space.
I thought it was a space. Yeah,
they did. Well, no, Clint went on Austin's show, his morning show, and they had a little bit of a discussion about it. Last Friday, I actually played it all and I talked about it. One of the things that you're just talking about, murder and stuff. One of the things Austin Peterson is trying to justify here, and at the time, and it's so stupid that Clint doesn't even catch it, which is he's talking about, you know, collateral damage basically to the Palestinians, right?
Yeah.
And Austin Peterson justifies it by like, look, you're calling it murder, but there's things called manslaughter. Manslaughter isn't murder. It's manslaughter. So it's like, and I'm like, manslaughter is still illegal. It's not a justified killing of a human being. It's lesser than intentionally, but it's still negligent, wanton destruction of reckless behavior that you kill someone. So yeah. It was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And he was kept talking about it like it's collateral damage happens. Okay. And it's okay to happen because it's manslaughter.
If Austin Peterson was not a dumbass and a smart man, he would say it's justified homicide.
Ooh, like self-defense. That's a defense. Is it justified? I mean, but I'm sorry. Manslaughter is not a justified killing. No. That's the whole point.
But homicide can be.
No. But like, if Austin Peterson was...
The defense to it would be justified.
Yeah. If Austin Correct. Peterson was a man of his convictions, he wouldn't be trying to minimize it. He would just be like, yeah, I'm pro-murder. Like yeah. I would have more respect for him if that was his line of thinking.
My but wife's lineage demands that if I want pussy, I gotta make this argument.
That's really what he's saying in way too many words. It's like, look, my wife is a Jew. I used to be a libertarian, and now we got to bomb Gaza. Like you connect the dots.
I mean, yeah, my wife is Israeli. Stuff her
pussy will do. Oh, Jesus. I'm not. Anybody know the longings of the loins of the Middle East? I don't know.
No.
I stay out of that Fertile Crescent, you know?
Yeah. I'm not totally sure, but I would argue on...
Sorry. I didn't impugn anything here.
I'm going to sound like Ace here, but I would argue that it's worse than manslaughter. It is murder. Like, say I wanted to bomb like one of my neighbors. I want to kill one of my neighbors for some reason. Yeah, exactly. I want to kill one of my neighbors for some reason. I decide to bomb like the entire neighborhood and kill everybody. And that's collateral damage. Like you're going to still say that I murdered all those people. That's not even just manslaughter. It was an intentional act. Well, yeah. I dropped a bomb on this entire area. Like I did that intentionally. I pretty much knew I was going to kill these other people. That's murder.
Right. I mean, you've got to look to even give him some semblance of justification. You've got to say, look, they were sending a bomb at these people, but these other people got hit. Sorry. But it's manslaughter. Once again, manslaughter is not justified killing.
Also, so, right. Yeah.
Yeah. He should just say, look, I just don't give a fuck. Like, yeah,
exactly.
Innocent people are going to die. It's called war. Like, stop being a bitch. If he said that, then I'd be like, oh, good on you. Like I said earlier, it's like, look, you either got to kill them all or you got to figure something else out. But this, like, they kill 1,000 of us and we kill like 10,000 of them. It's gay. It's the gayest fucking thing that I can think of happening in the Middle East. And
I decided, look, I had never really jumped into this because I was more on the right side of this all my life. And so I just never wanted to jump into this, figure out why everyone is doing this. And then I decided to on this one. And now I'm just like, okay, this is crazy. I can't. I mean, I'm watching documentaries that I think are pretty balanced. You know, I'm trying to watch them that aren't just from Al Jazeera, right? they're pretty good. They have people on both sides. And you're just like, oh, this is not what I can't. Okay. 1948. I get it. All this stuff happens. As a matter of fact, I remember now reading, Chaim Potok. He's a Jewish author. He wrote The Chosen, Asher Lev, all these great books. And they're basically centered from this time period of the 1940s through 60s area. And they're always talking about the Zionism issue. And so I went back and looked at one, and there's a whole debate in The Chosen between a really Orthodox Jew and a not so Orthodox. I mean, it's just a regular Jew guy. And the Orthodox guy is
the dollar store Jew.
Right. The Orthodox rabbi is upset. He won't even talk to the other family because Zionism is, he says, we were not allowed to go, but we're not allowed to go back to the promised land until we've been, you know, excommunicated in a sense. We can't go back. You're trying to put yourself into the position of coming to the prophecies that are supposed to happen by dictating themselves when God is supposed to do it. So anyway, my point is, at the time, there was a lot of division with this. Now we just act like, oh, it's ordained and here we are. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's just the religious side of it. And then there's just the property rights side. Speaking of which, have you seen Walter Block, his new turnabout on this issue?
No, I have no idea what he's saying. I don't think he's on Twitter or anything, so I've not seen any of it.
So I got wind of him doing a debate with Safedin Amos, who I'm not – he and I aren't buddies. And
okay. I only know of that name from your show, of you just shitting all over his takes.
Yeah, he'd said some things once. I called him a liar, and then he – on Jeff Dice's show – and then he came after me and he was in my DMs. He told me to go fuck myself, all kinds of stuff. Good stuff. He told me to read his book. Yeah, and then I did. And he made it worse. Point is, he had a debate with Walter Block. So I start to go watch it. Walter Block is off the rails with his defense of Israel from a libertarian perspective. God. And on the flap of the book, it actually is has a quote from Netanyahu saying, hey, this is a great book. So there you go. But Safedin is so... he's so insufferable that I had to stop because I'm just like, I'm agreeing with you and you're just such a prick. I want to watch and I want to agree with you, but you're such a dick, even to Walter Block here, who I disagree with at this point. So it was interesting.
Yeah,
I Netanyahu's call him soft anus, by the way.
Netanyahu's like, two thumbs up with interest.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Tom Woods had the other author of the same book. He and Walter had collaborated. They had a debate this last week. He had it on. So check that out, guy. It's some South American Jew.
Yeah. All I know is that this whole Israel-Palestine thing has brought out the fucking worst takes from like almost all sides.
Yeah.
And like to me, I've just reserved the right to call Israel pussies for not having the balls to kill all the Palestinians.
Wow. Okay.
And I fucking hate Israel.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, look, You're gonna fuck around and just do enough to just piss off the world and then make some college dipshit say I'm pro Hamas and then have like Ron Coleman and, you know, all these other Twitter people that normally are good on, you know, things just show their true colors of being just a Zionist shill. That's like, you know, Zionism, you know, Israel first and then America somewhere after that. We don't give a fuck. And it's like, I hate everybody involved in all of this. Like,
I suddenly people I agree I'm agreeing with are just shit. Like a lot of these shit lib you know, pro-Palestinian people, it's like you're not really in for it for the right reason. I think you probably want to bring about some communist state there. That's your whole thing. Mia Khalifa.
When I find myself agreeing with Anna Kasparian on the Israel-Palestine thing, I want out of the whole fucking thing. Like, just end it already.
Yeah,
it's you wind up agreeing with the broken clock leftists is kind of what I've been calling them.
Because all of the libertarian-minded people and all of the anti-war people, I understand your side and I understand your point, but it's not going to stop America's foreign policy because you disagree with Israel existing. Like, it's not going away. Yeah. It's not going to go anywhere, and it's going to suck. It's always going to suck, and we're going to be their bitch, and... our foreign policy is going to run through Tel Aviv or Jerusalem or whatever we've determined is their capital now. And it's fucking gay and all that shit should stop, but it's not gonna. So you point out the fucking war hawks when they start talking this pro-Israel shit. And then you push Israel to say, I don't think you got what it takes. I just don't think I don't think you want the Palestinians dead enough.
The Ron Coleman's and the Shapiro's, you start to look at him and I'm like, is there, like, I even commented on Shapiro's thing today. I'm like, is U.S. policy at all in your wheelhouse anymore? Or is this that facade completely gone? I mean, Israel could come out and say, you know, we need to have abortions on demand right now to stop this situation in Gaza. And Shapiro would be like, he's probably right. We got to do it. You know what, people? My little hat says yes. As a matter of fact, I turn it upside down. It says abortions on demand in the inside. And he's going to put it on
fuck all I know is if we're going to go into World War III, the possible outcome of there not being in Israel, like, I'm kind of okay with that.
It sounds sounds tempting.
If we're going into World War III either way, then the removal of Israel as far as being a fucking physical place, I don't know. I guess you have my attention.
Yeah.
So, Toad, I want to show let me see if I can see this here. Let's add this in here. This is an album I have. It's all called Toad Left, and it's simply all the screenshots of all, and I can't even keep up of all the times you've left our group chat. And so, and now who's more psycho, me or you, for leaving all the time? Why are you leaving in a group chat? What's up with you? And when are you coming back?
I can't come back. I blocked Andy.
Well, unblock him and come back. That's all it is. What kind of pussy are you? Let's resolve this thing. Why? Look, it's Andy. You know what you're getting with Andy. Just mute him.
Yeah, horrible takes on the Ukraine situation. I do know that.
What is Andy's take on Ukraine?
Here's Andy's take on Ukraine. Daniel McAdams wore a pro-communist shirt.
It was a Russian Federation shirt, and I still claim that he was doing it to troll people.
No, because he took all Andy put under his picture was like, wait, this is a pro crop, something like calling him out, and then he deleted it. So I think he's pro Russian. Just be okay with that, but you don't have to side with him.
McAdams is very good on foreign policy.
I know he's not now a fan of RFK, but some of his initial takes are just as bad as RFK's initial takes, such as we should support RFK.
There were things that I certainly liked about RFK, and he's looking less and less appealing for sure.
If you looked into his background at all, you would never would have said that.
I liked that I wanted him in the Democratic race, and I wanted that, and I liked that because I thought he was pushing the Overton window in a pretty major way, really, getting people to talk about things that they definitely would not have been talking about otherwise. Like, you had a Democrat who was completely opposed to the vaccine regime and talking about all of that. He was basically just outright saying that the CIA assassinated JFK and RFK. So I liked those aspects of it.
I just want RFK to steal votes from whoever's running on the Democrat ticket so that we can get some more fucking mean tweets. That's all I want.
Yeah.
I'm with that.
Yeah.
He said pro Chavez stuff. I mean, my point with him is his initial takes are just horrible. And he's not, I don't think he's a real force to be reckoned with. But then again, you have all kinds of people running for president, such as Toad. Toad, who is your vice president and why is it a woman?
Dude, I'm staunchly anti-war. I'm way more anti-war than Andy. I oppose the U.S. regime. I oppose the CIA. The U.S. War machine, the U.S. global empire, is the worst aggressor and largest aggressor in the history of humanity. So I oppose them first and foremost, and I don't bother to really talk about, this other dictator or whatever. Putin is bad. Yeah, no shit he is. But he's not as bad as what's going on with the U.S., the U.S. War machine. So that's why I don't care to even mention it, because that is just carrying water for like the CIA and just throwing their talking points out there. So fuck that. My VP, unless she's not even doing it anymore, is Brandy Creatrix from the Mises Caucus, whatever the hell, dude. I need my campaign to have the most sex appeal possible. So I'm like, you already have the sexiest presidential candidate, so we need an extremely sexy VP candidate.
You want in her pants. Here's your joke, Jacob Winograd or whatever, the biblical anarchy show.
Major insult.
Here's why. He's trying so hard to get on Tim Pool. Every time Cassandra says something, chimes in, and he's trying to get. That's what you are to try to get into Brandy's pants or whoever it is. Oh, totally.
I talk to all the ladies. Okay. But Brandy and I have a lot of fights. I was on her. I don't know if it's a show or whatever the hell she was doing on Discord. She's a woman. She doesn't know what she's doing. But
Toad, you should have a wet T-shirt contest to decide your VP candidate. And it's time to bring Miss Yoga Pants back into the fray. I haven't heard anything
Yoga Pants. She blocked me for Israel and Palestine. She's a mid-6. And we give her attention. Gone. We never should be giving this bitch attention. And it's same with Israel and Palestine. We should just need to stop paying attention to these people.
Yeah, block Israel.
Right. And that's why Twitter's better than real life.
Yeah, I started the Block Kalina campaign, man. Like, I think I was part of her downfall because I think nobody's paying attention to her anymore. But
think Meredith's just admitted to masturbating.
Okay. She has me blocked, so I don't know. That's kind of hot, actually. Maybe I'll unblock.
I thought that Flickin' Beans was anti-Mexican. Is that did I get that right?
Meredith can join the VP contest that I'm holding now.
You just said your VP was horrible and she's not smart.
No,
and
I said Kalina's horrible.
Oh, well, you said that about Brandy too. You said she's not she's I don't know.
She's a woman and she's retarded and she didn't know what she was doing on Discord. She and I had a debate or a discussion about a lot of different things. I don't know if she posted that anywhere, but you might be able to go find that. I was getting real heated, man, about Trump and about some of the other.
Have to listen to a podcast where a woman talks.
Yeah,
I think I'm okay.
And I think she had me on video, and she didn't go on video, so you just get to see me and not her. Doesn't that make it so appealing?
This would be better. Ace for Toad's VP. That is what we should do. Yes.
You want me to unblock that motherfucker?
I don't care. I want you to unblock to Andy because Andy will take a contrarian position just because he wants to see your reaction.
To fuck with me? Well, you saw my reaction.
Why are you letting this happen?
My reaction is that I'm done reacting.
Okay. We miss you. That's all I'm saying. I miss you there and there. And you know, I'm glad Andy's in there.
And that's gay.
That's fine. That's perfectly fine.
I'm sure I can come up with some cringe takes. Drop me in that group chat. I'll take those.
How are you not in there?
I don't fucking know. Who's in charge of invites?
I don't know, man. Some people don't take kindly to some new people that get added in a lot of cases.
You have to show dong.
That's true. You do.
Oh, they cool with 8 inches and fully sunburnt?
Or you can do that.
That would be fine.
Sunburnt.
I'll have to Google that because that ain't me. But I'll find something.
Right. Well, it doesn't have to be your own. It's just show dong.
All right.
I did the guy from Pretty or 16 Candles, Long Duck Dong.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. The character's name is Dong. Yeah. Yeah.
No more Yankee my wanky. Donger need food.
I'll just have Meredith send me all the shit that is probably in her DMs, and I'll just send that through.
Well, I have not sent her mine.
All right, so there won't be any repeats then.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, I'm about done here. This is what I do on a Friday night. Anything you guys want to say before we go out? Any exciting? I was going to play some clips. I had a bunch of stuff in mind, and then it just, you know, we played Bowman, then that's about it, all I had. Yeah. So anything else for either one of you, gentlemen?
No. Wow. That's why I have a podcast that's in hiatus that might not ever come back. It's called Ignore the Rant. You can go listen to 9-month-old takes on shit that doesn't matter anymore. And every other Tuesday around 10 p.m. on YouTube, if you're a football fan, you can watch Clock Management, where me, Justin, sometimes Tho Bishop, and sometimes awesome. Buck Johnson, and Duke Chastain and Mark Metz all get on and talk football. Only football, no politics, none of that gay shit.
Nice. Yeah, I would. I would do that if you would invite me. I would talk football with you.
Do not.
There you go. Justin's in the chat.
Everybody hates my football takes. By the way, I was going to say
that's why you left the chat most of the time. Most of those pictures that you leave in the chat are because you can't.
It's because I'm losing bets. I can't handle it.
Well, then don't talk about it in there. Jesus.
Oh, I know. Okay. I retract. Here's one thing I will say, since you've given me the floor yet again without the second office. Fuck Philadelphia Phillies fans. Sorry, Meredith. You're going to want to leave for this.
I agree. I hate the Philly fan base, too.
The amount of shit they were talking and the fucking bullshit they were slinging as they were exiting out my Braves stage left in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Way to go. You got the Braves to exit out early in the playoffs. You're one of like 27 teams that's done that. Here's the difference, though. We won the division on your field this year. We get a pennant for that. You guys didn't even make the World Series. There's not a trophy for it. There's not a ring for it. There's not a pennant for it. And all that shit talking, all that got you was a season that no one will remember while we'll still have a 2023 banner while you're sitting there wondering how the fuck you're sitting at home watching the World Series. Fuck the Phillies fans.
You want them to remember it. They lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks at home. And if I'm not mistaken,
they lost two home games.
Philly was up 3-2 and they lost both at home. And that also happened to the Houston Astros. Mm-hmm. Don't mention that to Poppy.
We're not really talking that much. Just, I won't mention it to her. I promise. Scouts honor. My Yankees didn't even make the playoffs, so I just haven't even been paying attention. Who's in the World Series?
I mean, I root for the Red Sox.
Diamondbacks Texas 5, Rangers. Texas Rangers 3, bottom of the 6th, game 1.
Wow. Wild.
Okay, I'll watch. I miss some good baseball.
It's wild that the Diamondbacks might win the World Series. They almost didn't make the playoffs. This is crazy. And
they were the last seed. Last wild card team.
They lack experience.
Have they won?
As well.
I remember the year they played. Was it New York?
They beat
it was 2001.
They beat the Yankees.
Randy Johnson.
It was right after 9/11.
I loved that, man. It was Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling. I hated the Yankees. I'm a Red Sox fan.
No,
man.
I get it. Yeah.
I loved the Diamondbacks. Yeah. Luis Gonzalez, I think, had one.
Luis Gonzalez was the poster boy for what drugs can do. Hey, I'm an average 2 home run a year hitter. Suddenly I pop off, what, 30? Something like that, wasn't it?
But that World Series...
No, that was Brady Anderson was the one that did
Well,
that, really,
him
yeah.
too, but Luis Gonzalez was bad.
But anyway, that World Series, that 2001 World Series, is what I use every time any fucking halfwit tells me, oh, well, all sports are rigged. It's just bread and circuses, man. Well, first of all, I'll take it, because imagine how much shittier it would be if we didn't have bread and circuses. Like, we would look around and be like, they don't even have the decency to keep us entertained. What fucking dipshits. The 2001 World Series, it was right after 9/11. Yankees make it. And what more of a perfect time would there have been for New York, the America's team out of New York, to win the World Series? And the fact that they fucking didn't is what I use. That's true. Every time anybody tries to tell me, why are you even paying attention? It's all rigged. It's all bullshit. It's all scripted. It's like, that's such a fucking, like, defeatist mentality to think that everything's preordained.
And by the way, you can't have some of these things scripted, which, you know, certain home runs and certain situations that are just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the comeback type of thing. You can't script all of that. It's too difficult. Like, even someone was saying that the other night, and I'm watching football, and I'm just like, I don't know. It would have to be all these guys on the field that he's going to miss this tackle. Now, the refs can play a large part of that. Sacramento Kings fans seem to think
was Aaron Rodgers having a shitty Achilles in the script? You know, are certain people's bones breaking? Is that? Oh, that's on page 57, paragraph B. Like,
no, but you can. I mean, you could sort of like generally like rig things for like a particular team, though.
Oh, well, sure.
Yeah.
But to
that's
say
why
that
I only
like
watch cycling.
But to say it's all like a fucking Broadway show, I hate that take.
I agree with you. Thing. Although Owen brought up some pretty hilarious points in Tower Game this week about what does he call it again? His version of football. I can't even remember the name of it. A grabbler football, I think is what it's called. And he was talking about in football specifically, you had like the Patriots won in 2001. You had like the NBA and NFL champions both had like the
blue
Ukraine,
and yellow. That's
Ukraine
numerology sports and, edition. That's just that's after the fact, looking back and finding things to connect. And you could do that with any team in any scenario. If you're looking for there to be a bigger meaning behind something that is truly meaningless,
that's the,
in my opinion,
three celebrities died. And you're like, yeah, but there were, I mean, what's your year worth? I mean, the celebrities are always dying and they die in threes. And then sometimes they pick a random celebrity. It's not really a celebrity anymore. Is Webster dead? I need to.
Somebody check on that little guy.
Some guy. So last thing I'll say, my wife said, hey, look, she listens to these weightlifter guys, Sal DiCristofano, I think that's the name, Sal someone. He's a libertarian. He's got a huge podcast called Mind Pump. And they were talking about, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. He's a soccer player. It's a whole
Messi?
Netflix. Huh?
Messi?
No, a Netflix show about this soccer player. Oh, my God. He's the most famous one from the England.
David Beckham.
Yeah, it's called Beckham. Yeah. Jesus. And I'm like,
The white Messi.
I don't want to watch this. He was a whatever guy. And I watch it, and I'm like, the guy was legit the shit. I did not realize how good he actually was. And for the most part, a good guy. I mean, like, he marries a hottie, and they pretty much stay together. And they
he married Posh Spice. She was the hottest one.
And they were super young, and they were just madly in love. And they're still together, and they're still fun. And so I'm like, I don't know, kind of a good story. And whether it was scripted or not, him, he was. And I hate soccer. Soccer's it's more gay than cycling. Okay, and yeah. Yeah,
I'm that fat loser in the gymnasium that's screaming, you know, to nobody. It's still real. It's still real to me. Damn it.
I know. And someone said Kyle had him on. Yeah, I know. I reached out to Sal myself because I've texted back. I'm not messaged back and forth because we go to a restaurant within walking distance. That's his uncle's. And he talks about it. And I'm like, hey, come on my show. He's like, I'd love to. Just send your info to my podcast people. And they came back and then they must have checked my show out first. Like, I don't think so. Okay, Toad, tell everybody where they can find you milking this weekend.
Me milking? That's what I'm going to be doing at the Jethro Tull concert tomorrow. Hopefully I meet up with Tom Woods again there. Maybe he's going to all the Boston progressive rock shows. That would be awesome if I run into him a second time at that venue. I'm Tower Gang Toad on Twitter. You can find all of my shit posts there unless I've blocked you. I am one of the hosts of the Tower Gang podcast, the most offensive podcast on the planet. You can find us. We live stream on YouTube, Odyssey, Rumble. We leave the episodes up everywhere except YouTube. We're on Spotify. We have a Locals if you want to support us there. Towergang.locals.com. I also run a sports betting podcast called Better Off Dead, and I'm doing it in a completely sleep-deprived, horrible state on Wednesday nights usually. Got a bunch of football plays up if you're interested in that for tomorrow and Sunday. I'm going to be on a bunch more podcasts coming up Sunday morning, some weird time for me. I'm on Australian Kate, Lady Liberty. She's having me on her show because I guess she has a podcast. Yeah, dude, I'm doing the podcast circuit. I'm on Kyle Matovic's show next Thursday, I think. I'm on a lot of shows, man. I'll be on Timcast soon, obviously. Which, by the way, that's another thing I was going to say. Another thing I was going to say real quickly. This is why I'm not Jacob Daniel. No, I actually I had the Timcast invite, which I don't know if people are supposed to know that, but I did, and I said I'm going to bring Cole with me if I come on. So I actually delayed or potentially lost the invite because I love the homies.
Well, because let's be honest with you. And because, Cole would just not be Jacob. Right. It's like inviting, Sonny without Cher. So, Magoo, tell us about you. As we play some Little River Band.
You can follow me on Twitter at Aspiring Midwit. I don't tweet. I just follow and like and quote tweet sometimes. And then immediately delete it because I fucking hate that app. But I like the fact that y'all are on there, and that's where I get to see what y'all are up to. Like I said earlier, I have a defunct podcast. We'll probably do an episode this weekend. It's called Ignore the Rant. It's just three ignorant dudes with really shitty, lukewarm takes on modern day current events, except I'm on there saying some blasphemous shit. as much as possible. And then every Tuesday, 10 p.m., not every, but when we feel like it, Tuesdays, 10 p.m. on YouTube, Clock Management. It's just a sports show. We just talk football, and it's only on during football season. We do a draft spectacular special where we live stream the draft, which means the episode will immediately get copyright stricken and taken down. And it's just 4 hours of us getting shit-faced and yelling at the picks that are coming in. So you can check us out over there. That's about it.
Hell yeah. Well, I should shout out Flapper real quick, too, where this hat is from. Jeez. Flapper.net. And solid dudes over there. I love Flapper. They love the boobs, so that's why I love them.
We all do. We don't do Toad. So everyone, foxandsons.com, go there, use the review code that you get your stuff off. Check us out. I've been doing, like they said, this Mary Fagan, this Leo Frank thing. It's very important if you want to understand the ADL, the how it came about, the history of it. Check it out. It's on Pete's. I'm putting it on mine as well. Magoo, thank you very much. Toad, thank you very much. Everyone else, have a great Friday night, and we will see you next week. Peace, love, I don't know.
Laughter?
Okay, I'm leaving now, bye guys.
But she's back.
And now.
Chick-fil-A is completely overrated. It's not that good. I prefer Zaxby's. I prefer Popeye's.
Takes a tough man to make a tender forecast, Nick.
I guess that's me.
Keep plucking that chicken.
Should I vote for Dick Cheney on the Libertarian Party? Do I have an obligation to vote for Dick Cheney?
I would say so.
Yes.
Did it work for those people?
No, it never does. I mean, these people somehow delude themselves into thinking it might, but it might work for us.
That one dude was like, not a podcast, I can't find it anywhere, and they don't have video.
Oh, yeah, Peter Janky, yeah.
I blocked him.
I'll do it. If he unblocks me, I'll...
He'll buy your shirt if you unblock him, Bert.
He's a wigger.
Yeah, nothing cooler than a 49-year-old wigger. Like,
I just started live streaming. Cut me some slack. I'm pretty high tech for a boomer. But anyways,
boomer.